you have your Bible, open up to Psalm 138. Psalm 138. If you don't have your Bible, pretend you have your Bible and open up to Psalm 138. Hey, Philip, is there any way we can pull one Psalm 138 up here? If you got time. So we're coming up next week on Thanksgiving. I actually thought Thanksgiving was this week. And my wife corrected me and got me lined out. It's just going to be a normal week. But next week's Thanksgiving, and I've been studying on Psalm 138, and it is a psalm of Thanksgiving. So I wanted to share some stuff with you that God really, just really spoke to me. And I've seen this in my life recently. Thanksgiving, as I was thinking about this, Thanksgiving probably, I like Thanksgiving honestly better than Christmas. Just a holiday to remind me of God's goodness and His faithfulness and to be thankful. And as I was thinking about this week, one of my favorite memories of Thanksgiving, believe it or not, when I was a kid, it snowed on Thanksgiving. Now, you know, we have pool parties. But back then, global warming. No, I'm just, anyhow, I'm kidding. But I remember one morning, you know, we'd get out of school. We got out of school 3 days back then for Thanksgiving, and we'd get out of school. And my dad's not a hunter by no means, but he did a couple of times because we enjoyed it. And Thanksgiving morning, it was snowing, and we got up, me and my brother and him, traipsed out through the woods. We didn't see nothing, but for whatever reason, it was an awesome time to be out there with my daddy. And then we come back and spent the rest of the day eating, and we actually watched the Cowboys. Back then, they were good. So you got Thanksgiving coming up, and you know it's easy to be thankful when everything's good. But if we're honest, most of the time everything's not good, is it? You know, I believe we have a lot more difficult days or difficult moments or seasons in our life, trouble than we do have when everything's just, you know, wonderful. And I looked at Job chapter 14, verse 1. It says, "Man born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." Man born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. You know, the Bible and Jesus didn't pull no punches. He talked to us in realities like, you know, I didn't come, you know, and when a person's born again, when they become a born again believer in Christ, doesn't mean you're going to live a trouble-free life. Probably going to have a whole lot more trouble if you want to know the truth. The more that you walk with Jesus and the closer that you are to the cross, the more trouble you're probably going to experience in reality. And basically, there's three sources of that trouble in your life. And I hope y'all pay attention this morning, because if you do, and even if you just write down the points I want to give this morning, it's going to help you work through your troubles, because you're going to have troubles today, and you're going to have troubles the rest of this week, and some are greater than others. But there's three things that trouble comes from. Number one is the flesh. Because we live in a sinful flesh, whether it's a lot of the troubles that I've experienced in my life are self-inflicted. Anytime that I do what I want to do and it's out of the will of God, I can expect that I'm going to have some trouble. And here's where I'm at. A lot of people want to look at the trouble in life and they want to look to God and go, you know, God, why are you letting this trouble happen? Consider that a lot of our trouble is just self-inflicted. Or it comes from the flesh of other people. And what I mean by that is just a sinful nature. You know, you might have trouble in your life you didn't deserve, you didn't do anything whatsoever, but because other people have a sinful heart, that you have trouble because of them. So the flesh is one source. Another source is this world. You know, Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. And that's why I say when you walk with the Lord, okay, the world hates God. The world hates a natural sinful person. Hates the things of God. They hate holiness. They hate it when you live out God's word in your life, and the world's going to come against you. And ultimately, the third one is the devil himself. You know, Satan and all of his devils come against us. The Bible said we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we war against spiritual wickedness in the high places. So when you look at the trouble of your life, you know, even if it's, you know, my motor blowed up on my car, just because things break and things rust. That's the sin curse over this world. Everything breaks, everything falls apart. There's always maintenance, more maintenance, more maintenance. You spend all this money to buy something nice, then you spend all this money to try to fix it. And so trouble comes in every form and shape and fashion. But here's the thing, it doesn't matter if it's something breaking, if it's people around you who just love trouble. You know, there's people who seem to love trouble, and they want to bring trouble to other people's lives. Some people have financial trouble. Some of that's self-inflicted because of the decisions that we made. Some of it's because we had a moron for a president, you know, and thank God he's gone. Some of it, you know, you might have trouble in ministry. But whatever it is, here's what I want to tell you. Trouble is the devil's way to contain and control what's on the inside of a believer. Now, I'm talking about a believer. And we just sang a song. I think it's awesome how we don't discuss what, I don't, you know, they don't know what I'm preaching. I don't know what they're singing, but God's Spirit just always seems to work. And in that song, you'll notice the words, if you're singing it, talks about how we're changed from the inside out. You know why? And this is not a salvation message, but I do want to make this clear. To be a Christian doesn't mean you simply believe in the existence of God. To be a Christian doesn't mean that you come to church. When Jordan was baptized this morning, that doesn't make her a Christian, okay? Being a church member, all that stuff doesn't make you a Christian. A biblical Christian, Jesus checked me on it. John chapter 3, Jesus said, you must be born again. Born of God's Spirit on the inside. It comes to the place where you recognize and agree with God's word is true, that we're all sinners, and our only hope of redemption from that sin was through the blood that Jesus shed for me on the cross. He died in my place, took our punishment for sin. When I hear that, he was buried and rose again. When I hear that, that's a message of the gospel. I believe that. I submit to that. He's the Lord and Savior of my life. And by his grace, he saves me, and that begins, that's a seed of God's Spirit enters into the soul. Your dead soul raises you to life. And everything that God does is on the inside of you and comes out. Praise, when we look at this, we'll read just a second. When we look at this, praise should come from the inside out. The glory of God, the Spirit of God should come from the inside out and live through us. Okay, if you have God's Spirit, that's how you know. Listen, that's how you know if you're born again, because he's inside of you and he comes out. Don't give me this junk about, oh, I believe in God, but I live like the devil. Come on, get real, okay? I know we have times where we act like the devil, but we don't live like the devil, okay? And so in that, think about this, the devil hates God. He hates God's glory. He hates it that when other people, because Jesus said, if I be high and lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. How's he high and lifted up? When I let what's on the inside loose. When it's uncontainable, when I praise God with my life, praise God with my words, praise God with my actions, and I let God do whatever he wants to do in and through me. Think about this. Then the world sees that Jesus is alive and people come to know him. Satan hates that. So what does he do? He uses trouble in our life to try to control and contain and keep what's inside of you inside of you. Because what we do is we let trouble consume us. We forget about God. We question God. You know, sometimes we get angry at God, if we're honest, and we wonder why we're having all this trouble. You know, Lord, I went to church. You ever said that? Lord, I've been to church 3 Sundays in a row, still having all this trouble. I'm like, well, you know, Lord did say in the scripture, hey, you go to church 3 weeks in a row, you're out of trouble. But sometimes what we do is, if we're not careful, we're so consumed by the darkness. Our focus goes to our troubles, trying to fix our troubles, trying to get out of our troubles. And one thing I figured out, when I get out of one trouble, there's another one standing in line. There's maybe a different trouble, maybe different, but I'm always going to deal with trouble. As long as I'm in this body, in this world, and the devil's coming against me, I expect trouble. So if you've been listening to Joel Osteen and trying to believe that junk about you living your best life now as a believer, that's not true. My best life is still to come, okay? So in that, I want to tell you this, you can praise him all the time, always, even in the days of trouble. Psalm 138 says this, I will praise you with my whole heart. Preached on that a couple of Sundays ago. Praise begins within the heart. God wants your whole heart. Before the gods or the rulers, I will sing praises to you. I will worship you toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me. And you made me bold with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Yes, they shall sing the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord is on high, he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. And you will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, for your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hand. So I'm gonna give you seven things. You can jot down seven things. You know, seven in the Bible is complete. You can completely worship God even in times of trouble if you'll consider the seven things that this teaches. Number one, you can always praise him even in the trouble because he's always present. He's always present. It says right here that I will worship you toward your holy temple. You know, in the Old Testament before Christ, his presence was represented in the temple. When people would go and pray, they would go oftentimes three times a day to the temple and they would pray. And when they would worship, they would go there. And when they had to deal with their sins, and they would come and confess their sins, and their fellowship with God revolved around the temple. But when Christ came, you know, that when Christ came and he arose from the grave, that was over. And now the Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians and other that my body, if you're a born again believer, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said that be content with this, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that means God is always present. God, I can praise God no matter what I'm going through. If I'm standing in a hospital, if I'm standing in an unemployment line, you know, if I'm standing in a courtroom, I can praise God. You know why? Because he goes with me to the hospital, to the courtroom, to the unemployment line. He's always present. Now think about this. You might not always be in his presence. Your heart might be elsewhere, but God never leaves you. You can leave him in your thoughts. You can leave him in your actions, and you can do whatever you so choose to do, and you're going to have more trouble that you bring on yourself. But you never do anything that God goes, that's it, I'm done with you. Think about that. God's with you all day, every day, present. And so many of us, you have, think about it. When the devil comes against you, when the world comes against you, when your flesh comes against you, you have present the greatest power to overcome and to experience victory inside of you, always present, and most of us never tap into that. We never even acknowledge it. And I'm thankful that God always with me and that he's there in everything that I go through. Second thing is because he never changes. He never changes. He said, and I will praise your name for your love and kindness and your truth. God's love and kindness and his truth never changes. Think about this. His loving kindness is always for you. There's some people who have these different views about God's love towards you to where you think, well, if I have a bad day and I have bad thoughts, or maybe I did something, or maybe I missed, you know, 1 out of 3 weeks at church. It's just a joke. Maybe I didn't do that. And all of a sudden, on the day you missed because you wanted to go fishing, now the next day you started having trouble. And you just do the math and you do what's logical. Obviously, God's mad at me now. He doesn't love me in the same way because I wasn't at church yesterday and I went fishing. And so now I'm going to have trouble, and this trouble's coming from the Lord. Does anybody ever think that way other than me? Thank y'all. Appreciate you for leaving me hanging, okay? You can deal with my craziness, okay? Because I have in the past thought that way. You know, whether it was fishing or whether it was hunting or whether it was, you know, I did something stupid just because I wanted to. And the next thing you know, when trouble comes, well, this obviously comes from the Lord. And I need to do something. I need to go to church twice this week so God will love me. And I need to read my Bible more. And I need to pray more because if I don't, then God's love towards me varies. God's love, let me say this clearly, according to the scripture, God's love never varies. It's maxed out for you. It's maxed out for you. And what you do doesn't change God's love for you. Now, your access to that depends upon you. That's up to you. But God, his love is unconditional, everlasting, always there, unchanging. Think about this. You can sit here today. Maybe you've never surrendered to Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're lost in your sin. You love your sin. You're walking in sin. You're living in sin. I want you to know this. In Romans 5:8 said that God demonstrated his love for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Do you understand if you're sitting here today and you're like, I don't believe all this stuff. I don't need all this stuff. That you're sitting there with your sins fully paid for. God fully loves you, and he offers you the forgiveness of sin freely, and you're just choosing to go, I don't want that. He still loves you. You understand that? God's love is everlasting. It's unchanging. And here's the thing. I mentioned this last week. In Psalm 51, you know back, Psalm 51, real quick, for those of you who weren't here, that's when David committed adultery with Bathsheba.
David, a man after God's own heart, committed adultery with Bathsheba. Then he lied. Then he manipulated. Then he had one of his friends murdered. Bathsheba was his wife. He murdered her husband and did all that stuff. And then God revealed this to him by the word through Nathan the prophet. Psalm 51 is a psalm of repentance. He starts off with this plea. Lord, I appeal to you, I'm not quoting, according to your loving kindness, have mercy on me. You see, David's actions changed and his performance changed and the things that he was doing towards God changed. But David knew the one thing that never changes is his loving kindness towards me. And I'm not asking you, God, think about this. When you prayed on God, I'm going to ask you to bless me because I went to church. I'm going to ask you to bless me because I gave some money this week. I'm going to ask you to bless me because I told that person, you know, about the gospel. Lord, I'm asking you to bless me according to your loving kindness. I'm asking you to forgive me according to your loving kindness. I'm asking you to pour out your favor in my family and in my church according to your loving kindness, which never changes no matter what. And that's why I can praise the Lord. You know, if the only time that you praise, and there's some people like, come, have you ever come to church and like stand there with your hands in your pocket and you're like, oh, I know. You know, I know I should be singing, but man, you just don't know the week I had. You don't know how I lost my temper and what I said. You don't know what I thought about and what I looked at on my phone that I shouldn't look at. You don't know how I struggled with my addictions this week. So who am I? Think about this. Who am I that I should come in here and that I should praise God? Last time I checked, praise wasn't about who are you. Praise is about who is he? And he doesn't change. You know where he was when you were in your addictions? Present. You know where he was when you was looking at your phone? Present. Think about that. Every time you open the phone, you look at something you ain't supposed to be looking at, the Lord's standing there, his face is turned like yours should be, but he's present. And he's present because he loves you, and he's present because he can say, I can deliver you from what's robbing you of life. I can deliver you from this trouble. Third thing is, that's good stuff, ain't it? Third thing is, because his word is magnified and powerful. He says, you have magnified your word above all your name. So what does that mean? It means God's word holds true under all conditions. His word is true no matter what's going on in the world, no matter who's in the presidential office, no matter if there's war going on, doesn't matter if everything's good, everything's bad, your life's blessed, your life's falling apart. God's word trumps any trouble that Satan can come against you with. You understand that? Oftentimes what we do is we look at with our normal eyes, we look at what's going on. And if you do that, it's very discouraging, ain't it? All times when you look at your life, you're like, it's terrible. You know, all my kids are crazy. My wife's crazy. Or your husband's crazy. Or, you know, my job, I just lost my job. I just got a bad health report. All these things are going on. And the church is splitting. And it's not. But anyhow, for illustration's sake, you can look with your eyes and go, everything's terrible. Obviously, God's, you know, forsaken me. And just look and go, what you need to do is you need to pray like David said. He said, Lord, open my eyes that I might behold glorious things in your word. Because the promises of God trumps what you see. You need to be looking with your spiritual eyes, if you have them, to see what's going on. When I look at the world, I'm not discouraged because I see wars and rumors of wars. I'm not discouraged because I see, you know, the stock market crashing. I'm not discouraged even when we had who we had for a president. You know why? Because I'm looking at God's word and say, well, his word says we're going to see this right before he returns. And I have a great hope in the Lord. And here's the thing, when you think about all the different things in the Bible that God used to show you how powerful his word is, I just think about when the children of Israel came to the edge of the Red Sea and they had mountains on both sides and the Red Sea in front of them and they look back and here come the enemy. And I imagine Pharaoh and his army was smiling and said, we got them right where we want them. There is no way out. All the children of Israel looked. Where did they look? They looked at their enemy. They looked at their environment and they're like, we should have never left. God's delivered us out here. Think about this what they come to, their conclusion when they looked with their regular eyes. The Lord's brought us out here to kill us all. See how when you look at your environment, all of a sudden you come to the assumption, and most of the time it's a lie that the devil placed in your heart about who God is and what his intentions are for you. You know what? What God said, he said, Moses. Because Moses had eyes for the Lord. Moses, why are you standing there? Walk out to the edge of water. Raise that rod up in the air. Moses like, I'm going to do what God's word just spoken. Here's how God's word trumps. When everything else is falling apart, God, Moses walks out, he raised the staff, which represents the cross of Jesus Christ, the power of God's word. He raised it, and the Lord went, part of the Red Sea. He's like, there you go, y'all walk across. And then he stopped the enemy. I'm going to tell you the whole book, read yourself, Exodus 14. He stopped the enemy, children of Israel, all walked across. Then the next day, he removed what was between them and the enemy. Here comes the enemy. And God used what was the obstacle or the trouble in their life to deal with the enemy. There's a whole lot of preaching in that right there. But you got to remember that God's word holds true. No man, no devil can keep me down or control my destiny and cannot take my hope as long as my eyes are upon the word of God and believe the power of it. Six of us are going to live in victory. Amen. Okay, number four, because I can praise because he listens to me. Notice what he says in verse 3, in the day when I cried out, you answered me. It's more than just God hears you. I want you to think about this. We're talking about the God of glory, the one who spoke everything in existence in 6 days, who molded you in your mother's womb, who has a purpose and a plan for your life, who put you in this world, in this time, for a purpose to glorify him, who has the power to do whatever he wants to do. When you as a child of God humble yourself and you talk to the Lord, you have heaven's full attention. God doesn't just... You know how you, men, do you know how your wives do you? You know how when you're sharing your heart with your wives and they're off doing their own thing and not paying attention to you? You know, y'all know what I'm talking about? Us men, we share ourselves all the time and women are off doing their own thing, you know? Here we go. I knew I could wake y'all up. First time I ever heard a woman get excited in church. All right. But sometimes that's the way we think, you know, my prayers, I hear people go, my prayers hit the ceiling. No, they didn't. God's not up there. God's here. And when I turn my heart towards God, and listen to me, no matter how dark it is, it doesn't say there's conditions. God wants an humble, honest heart. And when I come before God and I just speak my heart to the Lord, y'all think about this. Prayer is more than I just gonna recite a bunch of King James language. You ever heard of that song, Just Talking to Jesus? Brandon Lake, some of us just need to come back to a place where God's just going to sit. I'm just going to talk to Jesus. I had one of the greatest times with the Lord this week, sitting in a stinking box stand. I mean, I get tired of listening. Well, you get your own place. Buy your own box stand, all right? But here's where I'm at. I can tell you this. I don't know where Jesus was, y'all, but there was a morning this week where he was sitting in a 6x6 box stand with me, and I was listening to him very, very clearly. And I could prove that, but I won't go into the story. But here's the thing. I was talking to the Lord just like he's my daddy sitting there. And that's what he is. And God listens. I love it to know that God sits and listens to you. He has all the time in the world. He doesn't get tired of listening to you. Spend some time just talking to Jesus and getting to know him. And that's why I can praise the Lord, because in Jesus' name, I have all the attention of God. And so notice what it says. Because of that, in the day I cried out, you answered me. And you made me bold with strength in my soul. That ought to give us a boldness, knowing that we've got the attention of heaven and that God listens to us and that he cares about you and he's always present and he's always powerful and he's willing to do whatever needs to be done to bring us up out of this trouble that everything has brought against us. Does anybody here have trouble besides me? Amen. And so in that, it makes us bold. And so when trouble comes, this is what I believe. It's funny that Cody got up and read what he read this morning. I believe greater is he that is within me than that he that is within this world. I believe that sorrow endures for a nighttime, but joy comes in the morning. I believe that he does guide me through the valley of the shadow of death. And I believe that even in the presence of my enemy, he prepares his table before me and I can sit. I want you to get the picture that God's teaching you there. Oh yeah, the devil's always there. Don't give that punk credit. He's always nagging at you. He's always gnawing at you, but he's a dog on a leash. All he can do is bark unless you acknowledge him. And even though the world comes against you and surrounds you, and even though the devil comes against you and surrounds you, yet the Lord says, come on, sit down. Let's have a feast at my table. You know why? Because they don't come to my table. God draws the boundaries in line. They might be standing there at the boundaries just waiting for you to get up, but you need to come to times in your life. That's what praise is. Praise is you coming, you sitting down, just talking to Jesus at his table, feasting on God's word, feasting on what he's done for you, feasting on who you are in Christ, feasting on who he is, feasting on your future, which is sealed by the power of his resurrection. We need to spend a lot more time at his table than we do at our table, amen? You know, there's a Thanksgiving table we're going to sit at next week, but there's a Thanksgiving table we can sit at every day. And I think sometimes what we need to do when you get so sick and tired of listening to hell's idiot gnawing at you to go, you know what, I'm going to go sit down, I'm going to eat. And what you're going to do is you're going to shut up for a minute. And I'm going to open God's word, and I'm going to feed my spirit, and I'm going to feast on the promises of God's word, and then I'm going to come back and knock you out when I'm finished. Amen? So in that, oh man, I got off. whatever number this is. Anybody got a number? Five. Let's look at number five. I can praise him all the time because even in the midst of trouble, he'll revive me. Verse 7. It says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, right in the midst of, here's the thing. He don't have to correct all the trouble in your life in order to revive you. You understand that? You know, well, when this happens, Ms. Lynn Cooper sitting back here and she has trouble. She accidentally fell and she hurt herself. She's sitting in a wheelchair. She don't have to wait till she's out of that wheelchair to praise God. She can start praising God and she'll get out of that wheelchair a lot faster. I believe that. And here's where I'm at. A lot of times we want to wait till our trouble's over and go, all right, when I'm totally out of trouble, God, then I'll praise you. Then you're not ever going to praise him. He says, you know what? I'll revive your heart. How does God revive us? When I take my eyes off of me, off the world, off the devil, and I put them on Jesus. When I put them on the truth of God's word, when I put on the hope that I have in Christ Jesus, when I put it on the victory that I will experience. Because he will always bring me through. He will always deliver me. He will always bless me. Every time. And here's the thing, you're like, well, what about people who have cancer and they die? If they're a believer, he brought them through. They're not complaining right now. I promise you that. They're praising. And I told you this is a believer's message. It's like, well, what about people who are lost and they die with cancer? You got a whole lot more trouble. You got a whole lot more trouble. Your trouble just started. And it'll never end. And that's another reason I praise him, because he gives me hope. Gives me hope. And he'll revive me. I want you to get this right here. Says he will revive me in the midst of trouble. Look back one verse. Notice what it says. Though the Lord is on high, you ought to underline it in your Bible, he regards the lowly. He gives full attention. He gives his attention to the lowly. But to the proud, he knows from afar. You know what my problem is? Why my trouble oftentimes goes a whole lot longer than it won't? Because I kick my pride in. I don't humble myself to ask God for anything. Well, I'm not going to bother God. I'm just going to suck it up, and I'm gonna bow up, and I'm going to deal with this how I'm going to deal with it. And the trouble just keeps going. You know why? God's like, I'm going to be a little bit far from the proud. But when the lowly, think about this, the world and the devil may cause me trouble, try to break my spirit, crush my hope, might bring me down low. I've had times recently where I was pretty down low spiritually. But here's the thing, God regards the lowly. When you're in your lowest point, he's present. You've got his full attention. He's like, I'm fixing to bring you up out of here. When you look to the Lord, he looks to you. And in the midst of the trouble, he will revive you. I believe this is number six. This is my favorite part. If you don't get nothing else, you know, maybe I'm weird, but I love this verse right here. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies. You know, if you walk with the Lord, some of you are like, I don't get that whole devil thing. Just spend a little time walking with Jesus, okay? You'll get it. When you start reading God's word and you start acknowledging, this is where this stuff is coming from. And I recognize here that it is not my boss that's being hateful and ugly to me. It's the spirit that's driving him. I've used this illustration before. You know, if you got somebody behind you, a school bus, I've had that happen before. Wasn't Craig driving. Wasn't David Hamm driving, but it was somebody. You ever had somebody just ride your bumper? I can't stand it. Especially when you're driving a little over the speed limit and just crawling on you. Now, think about this. It upsets me more than it should. But what would it be like? How stupid would it look for me if I was driving and had an 18-wheeler behind me or a regular truck or whatever it is, a school bus, riding on my bumper, and I'm looking up in the mirror. Y'all ever do that? You ever pay more attention to the rearview mirror than you do what's in front of you? The devil always wants your attention in the rearview mirror so you'll wreck what's in front of you. Christ is always in front of you. You're following him. The devil's always on your bumper in the background, and he wants to stir up trouble. Now think about this. How stupid would it be if I got to the stop sign, come up out of my truck, and went back there and started wrestling with a school bus? I hate school buses. All these school buses get up on my bumper. It drives me crazy. You'd be like, man, that dude's insane. You know why? Because it's not the school bus. It's the one who's driving it. Now, you might drag them out of there. No, I don't say to do that. I might go back there and share Jesus with them and love them like a pastor, all right? But anyhow, so many of us, we look at the thing that's coming against us and we get so mad at the thing. You need to look and see what spirit's driving it. And when you come to figure out, you're telling me all this trouble I have in my marriage, all this trouble I'm having my kids, all this trouble I'm having in my life, all this trouble that I'm having here and having here, and my life is off, and there's so many people who are even to the point of taking their own life because it's just all this trouble. You're telling me it's not just luck. It's not just, you know, because of the way I was raised. It's not all these other people. One source. Jesus said, he's your enemy. And I'm going to tell you something. I can't stand him. I hate the devil. I hate my enemy. And when I look at this and go, one day, and I've said this in the midst of my trouble, oh, you can laugh now. Laugh it up, buddy. Because right now you can cause me trouble, but one day he's going to crush you. He's going to pour out his wrath on you and take vengeance from me. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. There is coming a day. And there are times where it seems like the devil gets the best of us. And I don't like losing, but sometimes it just seems like it continues to go on and on. If we want to be real, I'm not saying that there's a magic formula where, all right, I don't have trouble, so I'm going to bow down. I'm going to start praising the Lord. I'm going to get up and it's gone. There's times where I bow down and I bow down and I bow down and I beg God. And I war and I wrestle and I try to do what God's word says, and trouble's still there. You wake up the next morning, you get up like, oh, maybe it's a better day. 5 minutes later, maybe it's not. You know, maybe the same thing is coming. And you might have your laugh today, devil, but I just want to remind you, partner, your day's coming. Your day's coming where God's going to deliver wrath on the devil, this world, and everybody who follows him. There's a lot of people who might like that, but here's the God's honest truth. You're following one of two. You're either a follower of Jesus or you're a follower of the devil. You only got two daddies. You're either the God's your father, or just like Jesus told the Pharisees, the religious people, you're of your father, the devil. And if you choose, because everybody chooses, if you choose to go, you know what, I'm going to stick with the devil, then God's going to pour out wrath on you, him, and everything else and consume you. You understand that? Well, I don't like that. Then repent, turn to Jesus, be on the winning side. I'd rather be there laughing and clapping, going, yeah, I've been waiting for this my whole life. That's one thing, call me warped, that's one thing I'm looking forward to, probably more than anything, on the day of judgment. When the Lord says, hey, it's time, everybody's showing everybody know, we're finna throw the devil in the burning lake of fire. I'm gonna be pushing people out of the way to get the front row and go, yeah. You know what I'm saying? I wanna see it. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, that's crazy. God hates him too. You know, the word devil means hated adversary. God hates Satan, hates him. It's okay if I hate him. If you're going to pour your hate out of something, direct it to the right way, okay? Because I hate him, and I hate the trouble that he caused me, and I hate the trouble that he caused you, and I hate all the junk that he brings to this world, and I hate the suffering, I hate the sickness, I hate courtrooms, I hate hospitals, I hate funerals, I hate all that stuff. And there's one source, and he's my enemy. And one day, God's going to put an end to him. Amen. And then the last one is, notice what it says in verse 8. All the trouble you have, please pay attention right here. The Lord will perfect or complete that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. He's talking about himself. You're the works of his hand. God, I can praise God the trouble. You know why? Because God's going to take that trouble, and he's going to use it to mold me, to change me. He's going to do a work in me. He's going to do a work on me. He's going to do a work through me. And in that, he's going to be glorified. His word says in Romans 8:28 that we know all things work for good to those who are the called according to Christ Jesus. When you love the Lord, here's the thing. God will take what the devil means to hurt you. He will use it to mold you. He will use it to change you and transform you. And then he's going to do a work in you and through you. And people are going to see Jesus. And if you're a child of God, that's your greatest desire. And so in that, think about this. Thanksgiving and praise might be the very thing that he uses to deliver you from your trouble. I want to finish up with this thought right here. Thanksgiving and praise. You know, if you'll read through the Psalms, take a season in your life. We just read one Psalm each day. They're all pretty much shorter than Psalm 119. But you can read one a day. And here's the theme you're going to notice. David, a man after God's own heart who wrote most of the Psalms, boy, he had a lot of trouble. He had a lot of enemies. He had a lot of trouble. He complained a lot to the Lord. But one thing that I noticed is, on almost every, if not every one, where he was having trouble, when you get towards the end of the Psalms, he says something like this, "But I will sing unto the Lord because your faithfulness." Like, you know what David was saying? He was saying, you know what? Sometimes God uses my praise towards him to deliver me from the trouble I'm in. You know, there's an Old Testament story where the children of Israel were facing their enemies. It was like, it'd be like watching Braveheart, even though y'all don't watch that because it's ugly. Unless you got clear play. But you ever watch one of them shows where all them people were barbaric? Don't raise your hand, but if you ever watch Braveheart, there's stuff in there where they cut top of people's legs off and running swords, you know, through their face and all that kind of stuff. I know y'all ladies like watching that kind of stuff. But when you read about wars in the Bible, that's what it was. One little clean, you know, hack or two and everything's over. It was vicious. They fought. Those people in those lands over there are vicious. Chop people to death, spears, swords, burn, eat, all that kind of stuff. And there was a time and place where God's people, the children of Israel, in the book of Chronicles, was facing a battle like that. And God told them this, said, today, because you know what they did? They humbled themselves. They called upon the Lord. He listened to them. And he's like, you know what I'm going to do today? I don't want you to fight, for this battle is the Lord's. This trouble is mine. I'm going to take up your trouble because you're lowly. You humbled yourself. You regard me as God. You surrendered this to me and let me fight your battles. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fight your battle. And God told him, you know what? Here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to go in there carrying your swords and your spears and your shields. I want you to walk into the valley of the battle, and I just want you to praise. The Bible says that the children, think about how crazy that would have been. No more crazy than what I'm telling you this morning how to handle your troubles is. So you're telling me, I'm telling you this, as a soldier, your captain, if you'd have been there, would have said, leave your sword. Like, wait a second, I just do a sharper sign. I mean, I'm ready to run it. No, leave your sword, leave your shield, leave your spear, raise your hands, praise God as we walk. This just sounds like being a, you know, what do they call it, kamikaze? It's like a suicide mission. No. Just trust God and praise him. Your heart would have had to have just been totally, their heart would have had to have been consumed by God to go, all right, you know, God, I'm just going to die to myself. If this is where it ends, this is where it ends. I'm just going to surrender to you, but I'm going to praise you as I go. And God said, as they entered into that place, praising the Lord, that God smote the enemy with hailstones. And every one of them was wiped out. And only one stood victor. That's what God wants to do with our troubles. And if you'll come to the place, just challenge you this week, because this is one way you're going to get an opportunity to apply this message. When the devil comes against you with trouble, I just want you to focus on Jesus, because your trouble doesn't change who he is and what he's willing to do for you. And I want you to begin to praise for no other reason other than he's worthy. Your health problem, your financial problem, your social problem, none of that changes the fact that he's worthy. And if I'm going to focus on something, I'd rather focus on that than focus on all the junk. And I'm going to begin to praise God. I'm going to sing to the Lord. Why? Because I believe what God's word says. And I just believe this. I just believe God's going to rise up for you. And he's going to deliver you for that trouble. And he's going to be standing beside you waiting for the next one to come. God is faithful. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, your biggest trouble is the sin that you've got to deal with that you can't do anything about, that's going to send you straight to a devil's hell where God never intended on you being. And Jesus came to deal with that trouble. He dealt with it at the cross. He took your trouble. He assumed your identity. He assumed the wrath that I deserve for my sin, buried my sin in a grave, and then walked out and dusted his hands off and went, there, I dealt with your trouble. If you'll trust in me, surrender your life to him as Lord and Savior, God will save your soul, and he'll be present with you, and he'll carry you the rest of the way home. If you've never done that, listen to me. I ain't asking you to walk up here. This doesn't save you. God saves you. And God will save you right where you stand. If you want to come up here, me and my wife will be standing over here. Willie and Tony will be standing over there. If you want somebody to pray with you about your trouble, whatever it is. But most importantly, I just want you to see that God's worthy of our praise. God's worthy to be given praise and thanksgiving constantly. Don't let it be one day a year or only when you see the goodness of the Lord in your life. God's goodness is in your life every day because God is good. Will you stand with your head bowed and your eyes closed? Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I love you and I thank you so much for loving us. And I thank you, Jesus, that you deliver us from all our trouble, God. And I know in this world we can expect it, we can embrace it. Ain't no point in running from it. God, I pray we'd find ourselves running to you. Lord, that you would fight our battles. Lord, that you would deliver us. I thank you, Lord, that you allow these things to grow us, to challenge us, to change us, to mold us. God, I pray you give us, rather than a spirit of fear or discouragement, God, you give us a boldness in our soul. God, a courage in our heart, a desire to live for your glory, God. If anything comes of the trouble, let it be that you're glorified in our attitudes. And God, that we would choose to give you praise. Lord, even when we don't feel like it, praise ain't about our feelings or our emotions. God, praise is about the fact that you're worthy of it all day, every day. So God, I thank you that you love us, that you see us, that you listen to us. Lord, that you revive us. And I pray, God, through all of the trouble, Lord, you'll hear our voice louder than the troubles, God. We give you the praise you're worthy of. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.